Moms. I'm Becca Carnahan.
And I'm Marie Tremblay.
We're two mom friends and career development professionals here to help you answer that big question. What do I want to be when I grow up?
Just because we're moms now doesn't mean we're all the way grown up yet.
I know I'm not.
Me neither. And we want to give you permission to grow, change, and evolve as a parent and professional.
By sharing real stories from real moms, we're going to help you navigate the motherhood identity shift, career changes, work-life balance questions, and more.
Are you ready to keep growing up with us?
Yes? Then let's do this.
Hi, Becca.
Hi, Marie. We are so excited today because we have a special guest. We are joined today by Shalmina Babayabji, and I'm going to give you a bit of her bio here. But first of all, hi, Shalmina. Thank you so much for joining us.
It is my honor to join you. This is such excellent work that you're doing, and I love it. I'm honored to be here.
Well, we're excited to share your story with everyone because you're going to hear this bio, folks, and be like, whoa, we need to turn the volume up a little bit and hear more about Shalmina. So Shalmina is an author, board member, a TEDx speaker, former IBM VP, angel investor, and distinguished alumni who is devoted to helping career women emerge as leaders. As an immigrant of humble beginnings in Tanzania and a first-generation college graduate, Shalmina rose up to become one of the highest-ranking women of color at IBM while raising her two children as a single mother. She has led global teams and various businesses in multiple sectors, and she's also delivered over $1 billion, that's billion with a B, in revenues annually, and consistently maintained high client satisfaction and team morale. She was a decision maker in hiring and promoting hundreds of professionals. And at the peak of her career, Shalmina left IBM to pursue her passion for creating gender equality in leadership. You know, that speaks to us for sure. Now she speaks at corporations, colleges, conferences globally, and serves on the advisory board of Girl Up. And if that wasn't enough, Shalmina is also the author of Show Your Worth, 8 Intentional Strategies for Women to Emerge as Leaders at Work. Let's start by talking about your book. And because I know this is an exciting new project for you. So what inspired you to write your book, Show Your Worth?
You know, you shared a little bit of my bio, and I come from humble beginnings. I was the first person in my family to obtain a college degree. The town in which I grew up didn't even have education past 10th grade. But I was convinced that if I obtained a college degree, then I would lift myself and my family out of poverty. My mom, who had a fourth grade education, used to work really hard to raise us and to make ends meet. She would cook for other people. We sold food on the street, and watching that as a child, that was painful. And I was convinced that if I obtained a college degree, then we'd never have to be poor again. And so I set out to do just that. Got a degree in computer science, came to the United States as a student. I was fortunate enough to get a job from a company, even though I was on a student visa, which is, you know, just a one-year work permit. Mm-hmm. And I faced many internal and external barriers. So I don't want anyone listening thinking that this was a cakewalk. This was hard work. This was about me growing up every single day on the job. This was about me learning every single day. And a lot of people helped. A lot of people helped along the way. And every time I was able to help someone, I wasn't able to help people that were helping me. They were not in a position. But every time I was able to help someone, it just gave me immense satisfaction. It made me feel like I was honoring the people that helped me become successful, and I was helping them become successful. And so that led me to leave my corporate career at the peak of my career to do more of that, to help other women become successful. And, you know, when I started talking to these women, I realized that they too are facing the same barriers that I was facing. Different barriers, depending on where you are, your stage of your career, the country you live in. But we all had shared experiences. And they would share their challenges with me, and I would share what helped me overcome that challenge. And so when I started seeing that their career trajectory was changing, that they were achieving success in the workplace, that's when I decided to write the book, because I figured if I can help hundreds of women, if I wrote a book, I could help millions of women, and I could become an advocate for gender equality in leadership roles. Mm-hmm. So that's what inspired me to write the book.
What a beautiful reason to write a book, to expand out the number of people that you can impact. So we're really excited for you and for the book and for the number of people that you're going to impact with that message.
Mm. And it's a great segue actually for my next question, because there is so much growth in your path on a personal and on a professional level. Could you talk more about getting out of our comfort zone and its benefits to accelerate that growth?
We are hired for one reason only. And the reason we are hired is for the value that we contribute towards the success of our organization. Mm-hmm. And the value that we contribute towards the success of our organization is directly proportionate to your competencies. So when you show up to work every single day and you intentionally contribute value at your maximum capacity in every interaction, the value that you contribute will exceed what is expected of you. But that value is incremental. If you want transformational value creation, that means you have to grow your competencies transformationally. Mm-hmm. And in order for you to grow your competencies transformationally, you are required to step outside your comfort zone. Because when you step outside your comfort zone, you're pushed to the edge of your current competencies, and you are forced to learn new competencies, because when you are outside your comfort zone, you don't have the competencies it takes to navigate that project, that task, that client. And that forces you to learn. That forces you to seek help, which is amazing, because so many of us women are afraid to ask for help. But when you are outside your comfort zone and you're asking for help, you gain visibility. So I tell women, ask for help from senior executives, so they know that you are taking a chance on yourself and taking on an assignment in which you are outside your comfort zone, because then they start seeing your growth potential. And so it's extremely important. I tell women to seek assignments, to intentionally seek assignments that will push them outside their comfort zone. That's the professional part of it. But I will also tell you that sometimes life puts you outside your comfort zone by putting you in situations that you didn't even ask for, mm-hmm. such as in my case, becoming a single mother of two suddenly and unexpectedly. While I had a team of 10 people, I was responsible for a quota of 120 million. And when that happened, I was not just outside my comfort zone. I was just like lost completely didn't know how to handle that situation. I was experiencing emotions that I had never experienced in my life before. And so when that happens, we have a choice. We can give into what is happening to us, or we can allow for what is happening to us to settle in, to accept that, listen, I can't change the situation. But here's the thing I want all your audience to listen to. People will not always be the way you want them to be. Situations will not always be the way you want them to be. But you can intentionally choose to be who you want to be. That way, you are always defined by yourself and not by the people, not by the situation. You will not be driven by their agendas. You will drive yourself on your own agenda. Now, that is hard when you are in outside your comfort zone, and it requires practice. But it's something we can do, and it's in our power. I always tell people, you're not defined by what happens to you. You're defined by the responses that you pick. When you are outside your comfort zone, there is no such thing as failure. It is all about growing up. It is all about learning, and it is all about figuring things out. And when you do figure things out, I want everyone to look back at how afraid you were. whether you picked the situation to step outside your comfort zone or the situation picked you. So you got pushed outside your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. That doesn't matter. But the way you respond to that situation is what matters. And you own what I call your power quotient. Just like you have your IQ, your intelligence quotient, your EQ, your emotional quotient, you also own your power quotient. And your power quotient is your ability to pick an empowering response to a disempowering stimulus. And that has been the foundation of my success, because there have been a lot of stimuli, internal and external. And if you intentionally decide to pick an empowering response to every single one of those stimulus or stimuli, you will be growing every day. You will be using your power to help you grow and to learn and to become the person you're meant to be. And remember, there is no such thing as failure. All it is, it's about growing up, like your podcast says.
I love the empowering message behind this, Shalmina. And there was something, there's so many things that you said that I want to go back to, but the way that you framed asking for help, I thought was beautiful. And asking for help is showing other people that you want to learn.
Yes.
And it's signaling. So how empowering is that to feel like I'm not asking for help because I don't know what I'm doing and people are going to look at me like I don't know.
Growth potential. Growth potential.
Yes.
That's what
you are
show.
Demonstrating your growth potential. Mm-hmm. You may have heard that women get paid based on their performance. Men get paid based on their potential. Mm-hmm. But if we take it in our hands to demonstrate our growth potential, we will also get paid based on our potential.
Love that. Love that.
And that's so powerful.
The other thing that I wanted to circle back to also was about your role as a mother through all of this. And that's obviously a subject near and dear to all of our hearts. And I'm wondering if we can go back to that time in your life when you were navigating this inflection point as an executive at IBM and as a single mother. What were some of the tools that you used to help you navigate this inflection point?
Yeah. So I wasn't an executive just yet when that happened. When I suddenly and unexpectedly became a single mom, my kids were 2 and 4, and I was a first-line sales leader. It took me 10 years to ask for my first promotion. As soon as I got my first promotion and I sat on the other side of the table, I understood what truly matters. So a lot of what I've written is about that. And the reason I became an IBM executive is because I knew what truly matters. However, going back to your question, I was completely devastated, overwhelmed, preoccupied. I had more tasks to do than there were hours in the day. And at work, luckily, I had learned to use my power quotient to structure my days around my highest priorities and to say no to all my lesser priorities. That's how I was successfully leading a sales organization. But at home, I had never faced this situation before because my ex-husband was my equal partner in raising our 2 children and in maintaining our home. And so, you know, everything was nicely balanced until it was completely thrown out of balance. And so when that happened, I forgot all about my power quotient that I had been using at work so effectively, because now I'm completely out of sorts. I don't have clarity in my head. I'm not thinking straight. I'm tired. I can't sleep. I am dealing with all these emotions. I'm overwhelmed. I show up to work and I'm not even present in any of the meetings. I'm not paying attention to what's going on because I'm thinking of all the things that I have to do when I get home. I'm also really concerned about the future of my children. And there was just a lot going on. And then I would come home and I would know that I didn't really show up to work as a leader. I didn't contribute value at my maximum capacity. I wasn't even paying attention to the meetings. And so now I'm feeling badly at home about how I wasn't showing my worth at work. And so I was neither here nor there. And I started thinking, okay, now I'm failing as a mother. I'm failing as a leader. So I'm going to have to give up my leadership role because I can't give up being a mom. But that thought of giving up this leadership role that had taken me 10 years to achieve, every cell in my body was rebelling. It's like my entire body was hurting, physically hurting. But this ache in my body, which told me you cannot give up your leadership role, gave me a glimpse of my prior self. And I stopped and I said, I've convinced myself that I can't be a leader and I can't be a mom. I need to let myself know that I can. And that's where the victory starts. The victory starts inside your head. The victory starts when you tell yourself, I will do this. I will figure it out. And the biggest change I had to make is I had to start making myself and my inner well-being my number one priority. Because when there is so much to do, and especially when it comes to taking care of your children, you start deprioritizing yourself. But here's the thing. If you deprioritize yourself, then you deplete yourself of your joy and your energy. And you deplete yourself of your ability to show up in your full glory, whether it's at work or at home. And so remember that when you put yourself as a number one priority, so you are taking care of your physical, mental, spiritual well-being, you're not being selfish. You are filling yourself up so you can pour that energy onto others in every interaction you have with them. And so it is necessary to put yourself on your calendar before you put anything else. Because what happens then is you can achieve so much more in the remainder of the hours than when you show up tired, when you show up overwhelmed. Once you take time to fill yourself up before you do anything else, then you are able to show up in your full glory. Your productivity goes up, your energy levels go up, your joy goes up. What you're able to achieve is so much more. And the other thing you also must learn to do is understand trade-offs. Understand opportunity costs, because as working mothers, we have so much coming to us vying for our limited time and energy. I say attention, not time, because in today's age, you might be giving someone your time, but you might be on your device or you might be preoccupied, then you're not really giving them your time, you know? And so I say attention. So many things are vying for your limited attention, your limited energy, and you must become very intentional about where do you want to allocate your energy? Where do you want to allocate your attention? What are your top priorities? What matters the most to you? And you learn to do that. And the only way you can do that is if you know what your vision of success is, if you know what your strategic priorities are, so you can make those choices.
Shalmina, obviously having a work-life balance is many working mothers' ultimate goal. You actually found ways, and you talk about it in your book, you found ways to audit your life and work to create a work-life balance. Can you give an example of the impact that process has had in your life and career?
Yes, yes. You know, we all have 24 hours in a day. It is up to us. It is entirely up to us how we choose to allocate our attention and our energy that we have in those 24 hours. And by doing an audit of where are you focusing your energy? Where are you spending your energy? Where are you spending your attention? Is that what's most important to you? Should you continue to do that or should you stop doing that? And then you also must set boundaries. Because if you don't set boundaries and respect your own time and energy, nobody else is going to respect your time and energy. Because the world takes you at your own estimate. But when you start respecting your own boundaries and sticking to them, then they will also respect your boundaries. And so it's not something that happens overnight. It's work in progress. It's understanding what success means to you, both in your personal and your professional life, and that understanding your strategic priorities that will move you closest to your success in the most accelerated fashion. And then saying no to all your lesser priorities in a kind and firm way. So this is not about, you know, being confrontational or ruining relationships in the process. This is about helping people understand that these are my priorities and I cannot spend my time on this and have a dialogue with them. So they will stop coming to you with lesser priorities because you teach people how to treat you based on what you accept and what you don't.
It's such a hard thing though, isn't it? For women in particular to say no, to be intentional about saying no. So I'm wondering, is that one of these, you talk a lot about intention in your book, in your work. Is that intentional strategy of saying no and setting boundaries one that women struggle with the most? Or is there something else that you find that is a bigger struggle?
It depends on the woman. So you can't really generalize. The reason there are 8 strategies in the book is based on my experience of the biggest challenges women face. And frankly, it's mirrored by the challenges that I face. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, there were times in my career when work-life balance was the biggest struggle. But once you figure it out, once you have a rhythm, and here's the thing for all your listeners, don't be looking at someone else. Work-life balance means different things to different people based on who you are, what your situation is, what your children's situation is, what your caregiving situation is. Because here's the thing. No matter how much we love what we do, women are never just about their careers. We are wives, we are mothers, we are sisters, we are friends, we are caregivers, we are volunteers, we are mentors, we are mentees. All of these roles give meaning to our lives. And they're all vying for our limited time and attention. And so, and they energize us. So it's important to do all this. So what you need to do is you need to understand what's important to you. And then you find that balance that works for you and your loved ones and you and what matters to you. And so once in a while, it will be off balance and that's okay. You know, you have a sick child at home. Of course, your attention is going to be focused on your sick child. It doesn't matter that you have a very big meeting at work. It doesn't matter. Because at that point in time, what matters is for you to take your child to the doctor, right? And so when you are off balance a little bit, recognize that and tell you, you know, cut yourself some slack. Be kind to yourself. Tell yourself, hey, I'm doing the best I can in this given moment. That, in my opinion, is the definition of perfection. No one is in perfect balance every hour of the day. We are growing. We are learning. We are progressing. And that's what this is all about.
What a great definition of perfection, right? Of defining it for yourself. Bring the best version of yourself. I find so much of this really empowering, Shalmina. So I just wanted to add that and really emphasize on people internalizing that idea of you get to define what perfection is and how you're showing up and the best version that you are individually.
Absolutely. And you also get to define whether you will or will not achieve work-life balance. The victory has to be in your head first.
So many lessons, so much wisdom. This is so inspiring, Shalmina. Thank you so much. And you've covered so many aspects of this question already, but there's a question we love to ask each of our guests. What does continuing to grow up mean to you?
Oh, I do this every single day. You know, I have so much more work to do. I am committed. I will do this as long as I live. I am committed to advancing gender equality in leadership roles. And I am learning more and more every single day about the challenges, about how do we create this community, because this problem is so big that it is impossible for any one of us to do. And so I am constantly building the right connections. I am learning from others who have been there before me so I can continue to make better decisions tomorrow. And I often tell people that the only way tomorrow is guaranteed to be better is if you grow today.
I know that our listeners are going to want to continue to hear from you, Shalmina, and to learn from you and learn alongside you and grow up alongside you. So how can folks find you and follow along with your work?
So LinkedIn is the platform where I post the most. So please follow me on LinkedIn. Number two, there, I also have a website, but that's more static. LinkedIn is fresh content all the time. Number two, with this Women's History Month coming, I want all of you to engage in inspiring inclusion. So follow, amplify messages, gift my book to your mentees, talk about how we can do this as opposed to amplifying all the problems. And in order to take this further, even to the next level, and you talk about growing up, this is an area that I am completely outside my comfort zone, but I'm figuring it out. I'm using the power of artificial intelligence, and I will be launching an app called showyourworth.ai. So all your audience, any woman anywhere in the world, will have me in their pocket. They will be able to access my insights and my wisdom and ask me a question, even when they're frustrated in a meeting or they're dealing with a work-life balance situation or whatever, because I want my insights to be available instantaneously to everyone that needs it so they too can feel empowered. So together, we can all realize our maximum leadership potential, both personally and professionally, because even to your children, you are a leader. It kind of goes hand in hand. You are a role model, right? They're emulating you. They're watching you. And so when you realize your maximum potential personally and professionally, we will change the way the workplace is, and we will change the way future mothers will look at us and say, hey, the women that came before me figured this out. I can do this too. Yes.
Well, we are going to include all of these links in the show notes so you can find Shalmina on LinkedIn, find her website, and find her really cool app. I'm super excited about that. And thank you so much, Shalmina, for being here with us, for sharing your wisdom, your insights with us. And we look forward to continuing to connect with you and amplify all the wonderful work that you're doing.
Thank you. And thank you to all the listeners for investing your time in listening to us.
Thanks for tuning in to When Mommy Grows Up. If you're interested in learning more about how career coaching can help you along your journey of growing up as a mom and professional, head over to nextchaptercareers.us, where you'll also find the free Just Right Job Match quiz.
You can contact us at podcast@nextchaptercareers.us if you have questions, comments, or want to share your story for some coaching on the show. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review and make sure you follow us on your favorite podcast platform. We'll be here every week with coaching stories and two mom friends in your corner.